This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And unless you were listening carefully this week, you probably missed the Pentagon's seeming declaration of war against ISIS on the so-called cyber front. The head of Cyber Command, Michael Rogers, made the case to Congress that his unit should be elevated to be a fully independent command. Meanwhile, Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter has let it be known in a series of interviews that Cyber Command has been given, quote, its first wartime assignment. That is in Iraq and Syria, fighting ISIS. Now, excuse my skepticism, and boy, did I get into a friendly shouting match at our editorial meetings yesterday over all this, but they're not saying that they are just now going after encrypted networks in Syria? And how do you cyber attack people living in an already bombed out city like Raqqa? And how does shutting down cell phone service or Netflix make people living under the thumb of terrorists that much more miserable that they're going to rise up against them? We've been tracking ISIS leaders and killing them with drones for years. What's new here? We turn now to Shane Harris, a senior correspondent at The Daily Beast and author of At War, The Rise of the Military Internet Complex.
We saw them do this once before. So back in 2007 and 2008, the military ran a series of what I would call cyber operations against ISIS's predecessor in Iraq, which is al-Qaeda in Iraq. And what it did was it used the Iraqi telecommunications system, which the U.S. had largely helped to construct, to hack into the email systems, the cellular phones, and the communications networks of the insurgency on the ground. And they did two things when they did that. One was to monitor individuals through their communications and sort of the digital footprints that you leave when you use your cell phone or when you send an email or when you're online, to then locate those people and then go in and capture or finish them off. And the second thing that it tried to do was to disrupt their communications. So what do we mean by that? Denying them communications, shutting down parts of a cellular network, posing as someone that they knew in order to trick them into going to a certain place, deceiving them by appearing to communicate with them in a way that they were familiar with when actually they didn't know it was an American intelligence operative on the other side. What the secretary and officials are talking about now with doing against ISIS is similar to that, but I think is going to probably be a little bit more limited in some ways because we don't have ground troops. But basically disrupting their communications and getting inside that network and trying to spy on them, really, and understand who they are and what they're doing based on their digital patterns.
Now, I'm as impressed by the term cyber war and cyber attack as the next person. But it seems to me that that's basic intelligence, disrupting their communications capability, trying to infiltrate their communications network. And in the Snowden era, where the presumption is that the NSA can spy on me, I would certainly hope that there's nothing new about hacking into cell phone communications of ISIS and al-Qaeda in the Middle East. I mean, this isn't exactly a giant revelation.
No, I don't think it is. It's really not new, and the intelligence community has already been monitoring ISIS fighters via communications. One thing we know is that ISIS is very well aware of that and has taken steps to either encrypt communications or turn off features of certain apps like in Twitter that show your location where you're sending from. So a lot of this is basic intelligence gathering, where from the military's perspective, I think it becomes cyber warfare is when you marry that up with what the military likes to call kinetic action. So we're spying on them and doing these things in cyberspace at the same time that we are hitting them from the air or that we're potentially launching ground offensive against them as well. So cyber becomes a piece of this, and it's in that context, it's not just about gathering information. It's about gathering information to a particular end, which is capturing or killing them or taking back territory. But it really is about intelligence gathering. And that's why when you hear terms like cyber warfare get thrown around, you know, it kind of leads one to think, well, does that mean we're going to be blowing up, you know, oil refineries via cyber attacks? Are we going to be doing damage to physical infrastructure in these places? And that's possible. I don't think it's very likely. What Ash Carter, the Secretary of Defense, has said is that we're going after their communication and control networks. Now, that may involve taking down a physical network or blocking access to a certain path of communications. But there, too, that sort of looks a lot more like the surveillance and the intelligence gathering and even maybe something more akin to sabotage than it does to warfare. So the vocabulary around this sometimes can get a little bit muddied, I think.
We're talking with Shane Harris, senior correspondent at The Daily Beast and author of At War, The Rise of the Military Internet Complex. This is The Takeaway. Well, the good news is they've been doing this for a while, because if they were saying that they just started doing this on cell phones, then I think I really would, you know, hop on a plane for someone somewhere far, far away. But the fact that this has been going on for a while is great news. The confusion then comes, I don't get the impression that ISIS is necessarily vulnerable to, you know, delayed cell phone messages, errors on their computers, and they don't seem to operate from a kind of nerve center that would be prone to the sort of attack that would have catastrophic implications. It would just be picking off this guy here or picking off this guy there.
Well, it could be. It could be picking off many guys too. What we saw happen in Iraq in 2007, where there too, there wasn't so much of a centralized communication system the way we would think of a country or another military having one, is that we could learn a lot about who was in charge of the network and how that they were moving people, how they were moving money. Now, we actually know a fair amount about that with ISIS as well, I think in no small part because we monitor their communications. So when Secretary Carter came out and said, you know, I am sort of unleashing this cyber war, I mean, I was certainly sitting there sort of scratching my head thinking, well, this isn't that much different than what we've been doing in the past. And I don't think that we should presume that this is going to open up some new phase that is going to dramatically turn the tide of the war. I mean, and a big reason for that, too, is that we don't have a ground force there. In 2007 and 2008 in Iraq, we had troops on the ground who, when we found these people via their communications, we went in and got them. There is not a competent ground force for retaking, for instance, the city of Mosul in Iraq from ISIS,
right,
which is sort of the big prize.
You know, what constitutes a cyber attack against an organization like ISIS? This sounds suspiciously like we can do everything with air power. Now we can do everything with digital power. It doesn't involve any American casualties, so there's no political downside to it. But, I mean, it seems like the threat to cyber war comes more from China and Russia than it does from folks in Raqqa and the Syrian desert.
Oh, I think that's right in terms of, you know, the threat against, you know, the United States and our interests. Clearly, the bigger ones are the Chinese, the Russians, Iran, which recently the United States just indicted 7 Iranians for hacks, big denial of service attacks against U.S. banks. I mean, there's no doubt that ISIS has expressed interest in trying to, you know, acquire the capabilities to launch cyber attacks. They're very effective in propaganda and using cyberspace in that way. But I don't think that that we should be, you know, most worried about cyber attacks coming from the Islamic State.
All right, then, Shane Harris, de-encrypt this statement before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on April 5th of Admiral Michael Rogers, who's head of Cyber Command and NSA and has expressed interest in having, you know, CyberCom become a full unified command within the Pentagon. Here's what he says.
Today, we have 27 teams that are fully operational and 68 that have attained initial operational capability. And it's important to note that even teams that are not fully operational are contributing to our cyberspace efforts, with nearly 100 teams conducting cyberspace operations today. For example, the command continues to support U.S. Central Command's ongoing efforts to degrade, dismantle, and ultimately defeat ISIL.
Now, is that, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but is he trying to sell his budget to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, or is he telling America that we've got him on the run via computer?
No, I mean, it's more the former. I mean, he is, you know, Admiral Rogers is the second head of Cyber Command. It's a new organization, and it has to give some sense that it is doing real work and coming together. Now, that's not to say it's not doing real work, but it is still a fairly, in its kind of early toddler stages, you might say. When he talks about teams and you throw around numbers of teams, you know, 67 here, this many, that many, it starts to add up and look like 100. Those teams could be potentially very small. They could be teams dedicated to a certain kind of hacking or a certain geographic area. The general point, though, is that what Cyber Command has to become is the place where all of the military cyber efforts, both defensive and offensive, are brought under one umbrella, so that you don't have the Army doing its set of a dozen things and the Navy doing its 10 things that it does and the Air Force doing whatever it does. And that is happening, and that's going to happen. This is, you know, an initiative, Cyber Command, that's been underway for several years now. It is still maturing. And I think one of the reasons why the military is talking now about giving Cyber Command this mission against ISIS is because, you know, it's a target. I mean, it says, here is something concrete that they are doing. Here is how their mission is actually evolving into something real, going from an idea to something tangible. They're going after this particular enemy.
Shane Harris, senior correspondent at the Daily Beast and author of At War, The Rise of the Military Internet Complex. Shane, thanks so much.
You bet, John. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.